worldwide transmission of the Ted Brewer Show, brought to you by Health Masters. This is Ted Brewer, your host for this Friday, June the 26th, 2015. During the past 35 years, you've probably heard me on one of your local TV or radio shows or seminars, or perhaps on the Hagman and Hagman of the Hodges Show, or as a guest host. Today, we're going to talk about a lot of different topics again. We started the show yesterday with talking about depression, and you guys absolutely came up and went to the website and ordered a whole bunch of stuff for about depression. Today, we've got a whole bunch of new topics to talk about, but I want to start off talking about the gay marriage issue. This is really important to me because it got passed today by the Supreme Court, in which now all 50 states are basically saying that it's going to be required by the Supreme Court to support gay marriage. Now, that's interesting to me because that really wasn't the Supreme Court's decision, and the four dissenting justices pretty much said that. They really didn't have the ability or the right to do that under law, as far as I'm concerned. I've said it before, and I'm going to say it again. If you were living in a state that approved gay marriage based on what the voters wanted, and you decide you wanted to live there, that was your right under the Constitution, under those states' rights to do that. But to give a carte blanche decree through the entire country that you have to force gay marriage, whether you want to have it or not, in your state, doesn't make any sense to me. It seems more like these justices are legislating from the bench. So the problem I have with all of this, and we're going to talk about this in detail for just a second, is that, you know, it goes back to states' rights. It goes back to the Civil War. It goes back to the United States government usurping authority over the states' rights. We're going to talk about that today. We're going to talk about the Confederate flag. We're going to go into detail on what the Confederate flag really means and what it means to Southerners. I've done a bunch of research on that overnight. And I was really kind of sidebarred, I guess, like you could say, about this this ruling by the Supreme Court today. So I've been thinking about that this afternoon. And so we're going to go ahead and start with that so I can get that off my mind and talk to you about that. But first, let's talk about what's happened and why the homosexual agenda has become so strong in the United States, why the gay agenda has become so strong, and why there seem to be so many gays now when there really weren't that many gays when we were kids, even though we always had gays, but they really weren't that prevalent. And I've talked about this on many shows. I've talked about it on Hagman's show. I've talked about it on Hodges' show. I've talked about it all over the country. I've done the same seminar many, many, many times. And so we're going to talk about it today, about what's really going on with this agenda and why these folks are pushing it. Number one, let me share with you the primary reason this is happening in the United States is because of Hollywood. Hollywood has promoted everything evil, everything corrupt, everything satanic, everything sick. I mean, just the last few football, you know, halftime presentations were just giant Illuminati satanic halftime ceremonies. And if you don't know that, go do some research on it. The fact that, you know, we're having all of this transgender stuff going on right now. Let's go back to the beginning of why this has happened, why this has taken effect in the last 60, 70 years in the United States, and why it has gotten so pretty much out of hand. What happened back in the 40s with the concentration camps, they found out that if they put fluoride in the water supply, they could basically cause the inmates to be sterile and fertile. Both the Germans and the Russians did this. And in 1946 and 1945, when we went into Dachau, we got all the research that was done in the concentration camps concerning medical issues, all the way from infertility to freezing temperatures to all kinds of horrible experimentation that was done on human beings. Well, in 1945, we found that when you put some fluoride in the water supply, it makes the people in the concentration camps servile and infertile. And what ended up happening is the population of the country was unknowingly promoted fluoride, which is a byproduct of aluminum and also a byproduct of the fertilizer industry, to be used. When this started happening, they wanted to basically dumb people down, and they did. They did it with a vengeance. Harvard Public School of Public Health and many other studies now have shown that you have a substantial, up to a 20-point decline in IQ scores if a child is given fluoride in his baby bottle via the water that's being used. And also, it's just awful what they're doing with fluoride. Now, we know that. It doesn't really get rid of tooth decay. It makes you stupid and servile and infertile. And what was interesting, if you watch the movie Dr. Strangelove, it was done in the early 60s by Stanley Kubrick, who was a Hollywood insider. Some say he was involved with the filming of the Apollo landings. Some say that he was talking about Clockwork Orange as far as the MK Ultra program. Some folks say that, you know, when he was doing 2001 A Space Odyssey, it was basically something he was doing as far as showing different things that was going on in the space program. you know, it was interesting. Then finally he did the movie Eyes Wide Shut. He had 15 minutes of it, according to some insiders, that he wanted to leave in the movie, which should show basically the satanic sacrifice networks and the satanic rituals that were taking place all over the world with the elite along with Hollywood. He insisted that stay in the movie. Then all of a sudden he just kind of up and died in the 15 minutes, according to multiple authors, was removed from the movie, never to be seen again. Apparently they didn't want the whole knowledge of what was going on to be shown to us in its entirety. Apparently he did. I guess he was trying to fix the karma for himself, if you want to use a worldly term, before he decided to check out. But I don't think he was planning on checking out. But when you watch the movie Dr. Strangelove that he did back in the 60s, he was either a general or a colonel who was starting World War III by sending these bombers into Russia. He said the reason he was starting the war was because of the use of fluoride in the water supply. If you don't believe that, go back and watch the movie and what was going on as far as fluoride. And I think that was Stanley Kubrick's way of telling us to be careful and watch what was going on, that we were being drugged as a nation, drugged involuntarily, drugged as they were drugged in the Nazi concentration camps. Then we have the implementation of plastics into the food supply, food wraps, bubble wraps, etc., microwave oven wraps, all this stuff, 50s, 60s, 70s. And we started being exposed to large amounts of bisphenol A, which is another estrogen product that we have in the food supply now, along with all of the hormones that are put into cows. And what happens is in your first trimester when you're pregnant with a baby, when the woman is pregnant, the baby is born as a female, or conceived as a female, you should say, and the woman has to produce sufficient quantities of testosterone in utero in order for that child to become a male, to get a right brain dominated hemisphere, and for this genitalia to be developed properly. If the mother, while she is pregnant, and she has additional estrogen added into her diet, either through injections or through the water or through pesticide exposure or through soy protein, what ends up happening is her body can't produce sufficient quantities of testosterone to fight the estrogen that her body is already producing and also being absorbed from the food that she's being given or from the plastics that she's being exposed to. So what happens is you end up with a kind of a metro boy when he's born. He's not necessarily gay, but what he is, he's feminized. Usually he has a right brain dominant hemisphere. In fact, if you take a little boy and you give him soy protein when he's born, even if he's left brain, his brain will almost immediately shift to a right brain dominated hemisphere because of the estrogen and the soy protein and the soy milk. And what will happen is he'll never be able to go back to a left brain dominated hemisphere. And so these guys aren't necessarily gay, but what they are, they're kind of like metro boys. They're really not interested in girls. They're not really interested in guys. They're kind of like, they like to run around with skinny jeans on and dress like girls and go shopping, et cetera, et cetera. They kind of have too much lace on their panties, so to speak. And so we've had an entire now 60, 70 years of this onslaught of these drugs, of these chemicals, all of this stuff going into the food supply. And so we have a huge population now of gays in the United States who become very active. Now, the sad part about this is that, you know, this thing with Bruce Jenner, it's almost as if the globalists got bored and they want to pick on somebody else, and they decide to pick on Bruce Jenner and decide to, you know, do some type of mind control experiment on him, who the guy who used to be a decathlon winner, and they did that to him. It's awful. And now what they do in the movies and in the advertising and in the books and in the magazines, they intentionally do that, and they start to try to twist people's understanding of what's right and what's wrong. And what they'll do, you'll be watching a really, really, really pretty movie, you know, or whatever, real pretty movie star, a female, and all of a sudden you go, wow, that girl's really good looking, and pop, another guy will pop up right after you start thinking about how good looking she is. And they do that on purpose. And the reason they do that is they want to trigger that response of thinking, wow, she's hot, and all of a sudden now the guy's on, now you're still thinking she's hot and you're seeing the guy. Now you say, well, they don't do stuff like that. Yes, they do. They really do stuff like that. And so what they're doing is they're gradually shifting us over, because remember, we talked about this on yesterday's show, if you want to hear the archives. These Illuminists, these satanic Franken Kabbalists who are running the planet as far as the western part of the world anyhow, through their money magic, their Babylonian money magic, they want to destroy everything that God created if they can't take it over. I mean, they're willing to take us to nuclear war and nuclear Armageddon. If they're going to not win the war, they'd soon destroy the planet. That's what people don't understand, how evil these people are and how awful they are. This goes all the way back to Genesis chapter 6 with the Nephilim. This goes all the way back to the beginning of time. And this battle has been raging in the heavenlies now, and God talks about it in his word. He says this is not a battle of flesh and blood, but of these principalities, these high places, and these things unseen, and these different dimensions, and these different warfares. Paul McGuire talks about that in detail, and I've gone into detail about all of that on the Hagman Show and also on the Dave Hodges Show. And by the way, Dave Hodges will be my guest on Monday from 3 to 4. We'll probably bring him in at about 15 minutes after the hour of 3, because I want to go ahead and do about 15 minutes of news. Today I'm kind of pontificating because I'll be honest with you guys. I really like states' rights. I really like it when a state decides it wants certain rights and doesn't want certain rights, and if people want to move there, they can do that. But you know, when you start getting legislation by like Roberts with this Obamacare from the Supreme Court bench, and they decide that, you know, Obamacare is a tax and they're able to tax, you know, the whole thing's a mess. And what we're doing is we're gradually losing the rights that we have as American citizens. And it's because of what they've done. They've basically feminized the males in the United States. The lions don't roar anymore. They kind of whimper. They kind of go meow instead of roar. And they basically think that, if they're wearing their little skinny jeans, they're cool. And that now we've got a whole population of folks that have been feminized because of bisphenol A, who never intended on being chemically castrated in utero, which is what happened to them. They never asked for this. They really weren't part of the problem. They're part of the victimhood of this Rothschild banking cartel that's done this. And sadly, the vast majority of the people don't want to talk about this, or they simply don't know about it. I remember when I was in the embryology at Florida State University in the fall of 1975, I had Dr. Visa was my professor there, and he went into detail about what exogenous estrogens would do to a woman in utero and how the woman had to be protected while she was pregnant, not have any immunizations put in her, nothing could be added to her because of the damage it could do to the fetus. But sadly, they don't seem to care about that anymore. They're giving women routine flu shots now with mercury in them. They're super toxic for the child and for the mother, and they don't seem to care. So that's what I want to talk about to you today. So I'm not even going to go into any more of this because I don't want to talk about it anymore, to be honest with you. I'm still pretty upset about it, and you guys can get plenty of information on that, I'm sure, from all kinds of other alternative news carriers. Here's another interesting thing here. John Neinstedt, Archbishop of St. Paul, resigns after the archdiocese is charged with pedophile cover-up. This is all over again. This is back just about a week ago. Vatican City, Pope Francis has started making good on his promise to not let even the most senior churchman get away with sex abuse, raping little boys, or pedophilia. On Monday, he accepted the resignation of the embattled Archbishop of St. Paul in Minneapolis, and his deputy bishop after prosecutors there charged the archdiocese with having failed to protect children from unspeakable harm from a pedophile priest who was later convicted of molesting boys. You know, about a year ago, I had climbed Mount LeConte, which is a really nice hike if you ever get a chance to do it. It's the Great Smoky Mountain National Park close to Gatlinburg. And you go through the Allen Cave Bluff area, and you get up to Mount LeConte. It's about a 2.5-3 hour hike if you're pushing it, 4 hours if you take your time, about 1.5 hours back down. It's about 5.5 miles one way, about 11 miles round trip. You can do it in a day, but there's a lodge on top. You can spend the night if you want, or you can just do it up and down in one day. So we were doing it up and down in one day, having a blast, and we were coming back down, and I started talking to two guys on the trail. They were in their late 20s, and both of them were Catholic priests. And I thought, wow, how unique. I get to speak to a Catholic priest. And so we started talking, and they were telling me how great the Catholic Church was and how wonderful they were and how they were so excited about being in the priesthood. And they asked me, they said, well, do you go to church? And I said, well, yes. I said, I go to a Southern Baptist church. And they said, well, what do you think about Catholics? And I said, you guys have a bunch of pedophiles. I said, some of the studies show that 50% of your Catholic priests are gay and they're pedophiles. And they go, well, what do you mean by that? And they go, well, you know, we realize there's a problem, but you know, we're doing the best we can. I said, 50% of your priests are pedophiles and that's the best you can do? I said, this is nonsense. I said, guys, this isn't okay. I said, none of this is okay. You know, molesting little boys and raping little boys doesn't speak well of the Catholic Church. And so the Catholic Church is like so many other organizations. It was completely corrupted in the 4th century when Constantine brought in all the heathen practices and principles. We can talk about that on another show. I can do an entire diatribe on that if you'd like. And so the reality is this. We have a lot of these Catholic priests. We've got a lot of this stuff going on with pedophilia. And that's the biggest problem that I have with a lot of the stuff as far as the gay rights, is that a lot of these gays were brought into the gay community through an act of pedophilia. And they were basically victimized by a pedophile. And a lot of these guys do the same thing after they get older. And I just find that very, very sad. And I'm not saying that's the case in every case. And I'm not saying it's all their fault either because of the fact that they've been feminized because of the hormones and the food supply. But what I am saying is this. You know, there is a God. You know, God does not like this. God does not recognize gay marriage. It doesn't matter what the Supreme Court says or not say. And so there's going to come a judgment against the United States. 60 million abortions have pretty much guaranteed that. And the United States is on the slippery slope of Sodom and Gomorrah now. It's getting worse and worse and worse. And if we're not careful, we're going to find our same place that the Roman Empire found as far as the decline of the great republic of the United States. And quite frankly, we're pretty much on that decline right now. And I believe the Supreme Court has pretty much put a nail in that coffin. All right, let's change topics. I got to get something not quite as weird. Big Pharma, how they manipulate the American medical doctors. This is an article by Coles. And he goes, the pharmaceutical companies are an immoral bunch. They're not a benevolent association. They are highly unlikely to donate large amounts of money without strings attached. Once one is dancing with the devil, you don't always get to call the steps of the dance. This is a psychiatrist who was quoted from the Boston Globe in 2002 said, the New England Journal of Medicine under the editorship of Marcy Angel, MD, published a study in May 2000 whose principal author was Chief Brown University's Department of Psychiatry. The academic psychiatrist has reportedly made $500,000 in 1 year doing consultancy work for various psychopharmaceutical corporations that marketed antidepressant drugs. In editing the article, Dr. Engel discovered there wasn't enough room to print all the various authors' conflict of interest disclosures. And, I mean, you know, so the next question is, you know, is the academic medicine for sale? And the answer was no. The current owner is very happy with it, which is Big Pharma. Big Pharma is running academic medicine. They're the ones who continually give the ongoing, we call them continuing education classes in Florida. And that's what's going on right now. We have all of these folks from these pharmaceutical corporations giving continuing education classes to these physicians as far as what these drugs are supposed to do. And yesterday we talked about this in detail, and you have to realize that omega-3 oils and 5-hydroxyl-tryptophan and activated methylated B vitamins do a great job in getting rid of mild to moderate forms of depression without the use of Prozac and Zoloft. Now, if you want to have more detail on what those types of drugs do, you can listen to the archives of yesterday's show, because I don't want to get redundant as far as the shows that we're doing, because there's so much stuff to cover today on the news. Here's another interesting article I want to share with you. Here's how much the United States corporations paid senators to fast-track the TPP bill. And what it does, it goes into detail about the Trans-Pacific Partnership and literally the hundreds of thousands of dollars that were paid to these Congress people to fast-track TPP through these campaigns. Out of the total, over $1 million given, an average of $17,000 was donated to each of the 65 yay votes. And this doesn't even include the guys who were on their receival of different corporate money already. And the sad part about this is we know that there's so many people that are being paid and bought and paid for by these special interest groups and by the Rothschild banking cartel. Sadly, the problem is that this is the money they're disclosing. This is the money that's being disclosed. We don't know how much money has been put in accounts in other people's names for these guys in other countries. We have no idea. We don't know what's going on with the disclosure of how much money. Look what's going on with the Clinton Foundation. Hundreds of millions of dollars into this foundation from places where she was giving weapons sales contract to when she was Secretary of State. I mean, I don't even know how that's even possible that she even got away with stuff like that. All right, next article we want to talk about. 10,000 have been sued over Syngenta over unapproved GMO corn shipped to China. U.S. farmers are losing $5 billion in sales. What's going on now is that we are having this GMO corn that's being sent over to China. They weren't even told it was going to be GMO corn. And now they're basically suing them because they're being contaminated with GMO corn, which is doesn't surprise me. At least somebody's suing somebody over GMO corn. Another article, judge halts Kansas ban on dismemberment abortions tearing babies limb from limb. Apparently there was a ban on dismemberment abortions in which the baby is being torn into pieces as he's being pulled from the body. And so this judge decided he was going to lift the ban. So I find that interesting. The decision from Shawnee County District Court Judge Larry Hendricks came in a lawsuit filed from the New York-based Center for Reproductive Rights. The center represents two Kansas abortion providers and argued the law would force women to undergo riskier procedures or forego abortions. In other words, they want the right to tear these living children, these fetuses, limb from limb as they're aborting them, and that's how they kill them. Dismemberment of an abortion kills a baby by tearing her apart limb from limb, said the National Right to Life Director, State Legislation, Mary Spaulding Balk, J.D. Before the first trimester ends, the unborn child has a beating heart, brain waves, and every organ is in place. Dismemberment abortions occur after the baby has reached these milestones. You know, guys, let me ask you a question. This is just one of those days for me because of all the stuff that's going on. Why do we think any of this is okay? Why do we think any of this is okay as a nation? Why do we think that there's not a just God? Why do we think there's not going to be retribution? It was interesting. A Harvard professor was doing a quick little 3-minute video online. You can look it up. And he talked about how he had had a Chinese man there who was on a fellowship finishing his PhD or whatever at Harvard. And the Chinese man finally came up and told the professor, he goes, I had no idea the role of religion and how it played such a vital importance as far as people obeying the laws and doing what's right because they know that God was watching them in the United States. He goes, if you ever lost religion and you stopped teaching that to the next generation, there wouldn't be enough policemen to maintain control in this country. And I guess, of course, that's pretty much what's happening, isn't it? We're going more and more and more to martial law. So my dad once told me, I remember I was talking to him, and we were having a discussion about the Roman Empire. And I said, Dad, I got to ask you a question. I said, whatever happened to Rome? I was like 18, 19, 20 years old when I asked this question. It's like, gosh, 40 years ago. And Dad looked at me and goes, son, it's very easy. They stopped raising little Romans. I said, Dad, okay, you're talking kind of like in metaphors. Now, what do you mean by that? He goes, son, it was very simple. They stopped instilling the values and what was right and what was wrong into their children. They started looking at children as just a nuisance. They didn't want to be bothered with them. And within a couple of generations, there were no longer any children. You know, the homosexuality had taken over in Rome. Orgies had taken over. And that's why if you read the Bible, you know, especially throughout the New Testament, Paul is always talking about stay away from orgies. Stay away from orgies. Don't do orgies. Okay? Well, the reason he was talking like that is that was really, really prevalent. It had gone to complete and total moral decay. And you read about that in some of the older history books, but they don't really talk about that anymore. In fact, in some of the history books, they don't even start history now in high school until 1880. They don't want to talk about the Civil War or what happened with England. They don't want to talk about any of that stuff. They want to talk about how this country was founded. They want to talk about what happened after 1880. They don't want to go over what the southern states were really upset about. This is another interesting thing from the WND. It says, watchdog lawyer says 6 Supreme Court justices must be impeached. And how the Obamacare ruling snubs the rule of law. I'm not going to cover this one today. I'm just pretty much done with the Supreme Court today. I really don't even want to talk about those guys. I don't even know how in the world unelected guys get to do stuff like this. A bombshell. Amazon is no longer selling the Confederate flag. And, they're being told they can't sell the Confederate flag anymore. And apparently, I don't know where that came from and who the edict was from. This guy's saying he thinks it might have been the government, but I don't see anything that proves that at this point. But I want to read you something about the Confederate flag. Now, let me share something with you about the globalists. Now, this is really, really, really important that you understand this with globalists. The globalists are all about their symbology. They're all about symbols. That's why if you watch the halftime presentation of the Super Bowl, there's all kinds of symbols. You've got Katy Perry riding out on a giant lion, which symbolizes part of the occult. You've got Madonna bowing down to the high priest a couple years earlier, which symbolizes Luciferian worship. I mean, you've got all of this stuff going on. You've got choirs of angels singing to Lucifer. I mean, they're all about symbology because they know the importance because of how it affects the subconscious mind. They know the symbols. Look, just think about what the Nazi logo does from a symbol standpoint when you see it. You automatically think of tyranny. You think of concentration camps. You think of World War II. You think of the man that we call Hitler. You think about all of this stuff. You don't think about anything but all of that when you see the symbol. They know how important a flag is. They know how important a symbol is. That's why that flag raising on Iwo Jima was staged. If you watch the movie with Clint Eastwood, he talks about it. And so what's interesting with this is they understand the importance of symbology, the importance of it. They want to get rid of the American flag. They want to get rid of the Confederate flag. They want to get rid of any flag. They don't care anymore. They just want to get rid of the United States having an identity as an individual sovereign country. That's where this is all going. And that's why the symbology is so important. They don't want us to have a Confederate flag. They don't want to have people in South Carolina flying a Confederate flag. They don't want people in Texas flying a Confederate flag. Now, let's talk about what the Confederate flag is, because it's probably not what you think it is, because everybody looks at the Confederate flag as a sign of racism. So, again, I didn't have any relatives here during the Civil War. So this isn't a dog that I've got in this fight, but I'm just going to talk about this for just a second. Myth. The War of 1861 to 1865 was fought over slavery. Terribly untrue. The fact, the North fought the war over money, plain and simple. When the South started secession, Lincoln was asked, why not just let the Southern folks go in peace? To which he replied, I can't let them go. Who would pay for the government? Sensing total financial ruin for the North, Lincoln waged the war in the South. The South fought the war to repel Northern aggression and invasion. Myth. Only Southerners owned slaves. Fact. Entirely untrue. Many Northern civilians owned slaves prior to and during and even after the War of Northern Aggression. This is, you can tell the Confederate guy wrote this. Myth. The Confederate battle flag was flown on slave ships. Fact. None of the flags of the Confederacy or Southern nation ever flew over a slave ship, nor did the South own any or operate any slave ships. The English, the Dutch, and the Portuguese brought slaves to this country, not the Southern nation. I thought you guys would like that. I had a friend of mine one time, a Van Green. He was working out with me here at the house for 7 years, a former NFL player. He was interesting. He was talking to me one time because he's a black gentleman, a preacher. And he said to me, he said, Teddy, he goes, what's interesting about this? This is what you don't understand. He says, is that the black slave traders who sold us into slavery were the tribal leaders of our own communities in Africa. They did it for slave beads. Slave beads. That's why they sold us. Myth. The Confederate battle flag represented the Southern nation. Not true. While the Southern battle flag was carried into battle, the Southern nation had three different national flags during the course of the war. Myth. The Confederate battle flag was known as the Stars and Bars. Common misconception. The first national Confederate flag is correctly known as Stars and Bars. The Confederate battle flag is known to be as the Southern Cross. Myth. The Confederate battle flag represents racism today. Fact. The Confederate battle flag today finds itself in the center of much controversy and hoopla going in several states. The cry to take the flag down is unjustified. It is very important to keep in mind that the Confederate battle flag was simply just that, a battle flag. It was never even a national flag, so how could it have flown over a slave nation or represented slavery or racism? This myth is continued by lack of education and ignorance. And this article goes on and on. You can read it yourself. And the guy who wrote this article is a pretty good article, actually. His name is Dean James. Now, I don't know anything about the guy, so you can go find out if he's any good, whatever he is. I'm sure he's a Southerner. And here's to another. I want to share this. Abraham Lincoln was the great emancipator. That's not true. While England went down in history as a great emancipator, many would not care to hear his real thoughts on people of color. Martyred President Abraham Lincoln was fervently making plans to send all free slaves to the jungles of Central America once the war was over, knowing that the African society would never allow the slaves to return back to Africa. In addition to that, the northern states also had slaves. Only the southern states had freed the slaves with Lincoln. And you go on and on and on. There's a really good book you can read. It's called The South Was Right. I read that a couple of years ago. And there's another book I just got in. It's called The Real Lincoln. Now, you can read that one also if you'd like. That's supposed to be a pretty good one, too. I've got that here, but I haven't read it yet. Let's see. I've got a bunch of stories here that I'm not really going to talk to you about today. Okay, here's another good study. Wheat. 200 clinically confirmed reasons not to eat wheat. With sales of foods labeled gluten-free now reaching over $6 billion a year. That's huge, by the way. Something truly profound is happening to the way in which Americans are perceiving the role of wheat in their diets. Once celebrated as the very poster child of the health food movement, folks are increasingly rejecting this king of grains and now identifying it as being the very root of their health problems. Now, the reason this has happened, this thing has been so genetically modified now and has been subjected to so much different, you know, I could do a whole show on this. Wheat is not something that you need to eat, period, at all. And I know just the other day, my wife and I went out to a restaurant and we had some bread. It's really good bread. It's all organic whole wheat bread, supposedly. Apparently it was not. Because the next day we felt kind of sluggish. The following day we went back and had some more bread at another restaurant. We never eat out 2 days in a row until that day. I can't remember when. But for a week we were slugged out and sluggish because of the wheat we had eaten. So I try to stay away from bread altogether, and I simply don't get involved with that very often because, number one, I learned when I was an athlete in college that if you want to stay in shape, 80% of what you look like and 80% of your performance is not your training. It's your diet. It's your lifestyle choices. I mean, you can work out incredibly hard, and if you have a 40 or 50% body fat and you don't change your diet, you're really not going to burn that fat off. You got to cut the calories, and you got to cut the types of carbohydrates you're eating, and you got to cut the types of calories that you're eating if you want to do that. In a later show, we'll do an entire thing on the 5 ways to burn body fat. I can do that with you real quick, real right now. The best way to burn body fat is this. Take your ideal weight, whatever you want to weigh, and multiply it by 10. So if you're a guy and you want to weigh 180 pounds, that's 1,800. That'll be 1,800 calories a day. If you're a girl and you want to weigh 120 pounds, or a lady or a woman, what do you want to call yourself, times 10, that's 1,200 calories a day. Now you divide that total caloric intake into by 6. So that would be 300 for a man and 200 for a woman. And what you would do is you will eat 6 200-calorie meals a day if you're a woman and 6 300-calorie meals a day if you're a man. Now, if you do that, what happens is you stabilize your blood sugar throughout the day, provided you do the following things. You stay away from high glycemic carbohydrates. That includes pasta, wheat, potatoes, juice, dried fruit. Any of those high glycemic carbohydrates will convert to sugar very, very quickly in the body. And when they do that, the body will release insulin. Insulin is a storage hormone. You need to balance your diet out with carbohydrates, with complex carbs, but not being wheat, like green leafy vegetables, and also with like lean chicken for protein, and also a little bit of fat. You can use cod liver oil if you'd like with each meal, a couple of capsules of cod. That'll slow down the absorption. You do that 6 times a day, just basically chicken and vegetables, or even beef and vegetables, or even fish and vegetables, to keep your calorie count right. You'll start losing weight almost immediately. You can take CLA, conjugated linoleic acid. We have that available at healthmasters.com. And that's a phenomenal product to burn body fat. And you can take HGH Stimulate. That's a product that actually elevates human growth hormone, burns body fat in. Some ladies even claim it burns cellulite. It's an amazing product. And so what I would do is I take that every single day. And also it kind of acts like a natural Viagra in men. So now I've got everybody's attention. It's called HGH Stimulate. And what it does, it stimulates the pituitary gland to release human growth hormone, which basically increases lean muscle mass, makes you a lot stronger in the gym, gives you a much better pump and a much better workout. In addition to that, you need to drink half your body weight in fluid ounces and purified water every day. So if you weigh 200 pounds, drink 100 ounces of water a day, which would be 10 ounce glasses. That's so important. And you've got to make sure you stay away from fluorine and chlorine and bromine. You've got to stay away from the halogens. And you have to be taking potassium iodide about 13.5 milligrams every single day. We have that at Health Masters. And if you do that, you'll get your thyroid kicked up again. It'll start working really well again. You'll start burning fat like crazy. And that's basically the simple way of doing that. Stay away from high glycemic carbohydrates. Take the CLA. Take the HGH Stimulate. Eat the 6 small meals a day. And you can combine cardio with weight training for about 30 minutes a day. I wouldn't do any more than 30 minutes of working out a day. And I wouldn't work out heavy if you're past the age of 40. You know, I didn't listen to that, okay? I was working out really, really heavy still when I was in my 40s. And I was still huge, okay? I had 18.5-inch arms with about a 34-inch waist, and we were training really, really hard. And then I had a shoulder injury because I was using such heavy weight still. It's not worth it because once you have a shoulder injury, everything starts doing weird things. And finally, we developed that one product that we have. It's called Joint Support, and it healed my shoulder, but I'm just really, really careful with it now, and I don't go heavy anymore because it's not necessary. It's the same product that Dave Hodges is using. He'll talk about it some on Monday when he comes on the show. And then, of course, if you have a high blood sugar problem, that's not good either. But a lot of times you'll have syndrome X, which includes elevated insulin, and it's very difficult for your body to lose weight with that. In addition to that, it's very difficult to lose weight when you're drinking alcohol. We talked about that yesterday. So make sure you do those 5 things if you're trying to burn body fat, if you're trying to get back into shape, and make sure you stay in the gym no longer than 30 minutes from start to finish of the workout. Once you go past 30 minutes, you start elevating cortisol, and cortisol is a stress hormone. And you start stressing your body out. When you start stressing your body out, your body starts digesting and destroying its own muscle tissue, which is bad. That's not good. Okay, you don't destroy your own muscle tissue. I know what I've learned to do now. I'll be 60 here in a couple of months. I was working out with these minimum workouts I was working each body part twice a week. In other words, I went in there and do chest on Monday and Thursday, legs on Tuesday, and on Wednesday I'd do shoulders and arms. Shoulders and arms. And finally I started realizing I wasn't training enough because I wasn't hitting things heavy enough. So what I did, I shifted back to 3 times a week per body part, and I do more conditioning exercises now. In other words, I work chest, shoulders, and triceps on Monday, legs, lats, and biceps on Tuesday, and I rotate those 6 days a week. And I've noticed I'm getting a lot better shape. I'm staying a lot more toned because I don't have the heavy workouts, the hard workouts anymore that you can't recover from, within 2 to 3 days. So that's why when you're younger and you're training really, really hard, you only want to work each body part twice a week. I had Boyer Coe, who was a bodybuilder way back in the 70s, teach me that. Gosh, back in 1976. And he said, Ted, the problem is you're overtraining. Your body can't respond or can't recover quickly enough because you're training each body part 3 times a week. And after I stopped doing that, my body just kind of exploded. I got really big, really, really fast. Never touched a steroid, never did any of that. And what happened is I got in a really, really good shape by training each body part twice a week. And I've continued to do that, for the last 40 years, almost 40 years. And now I'm in a situation where I don't want to do that anymore. I don't want to train that hard anymore. So that's a little secret on burning body fat. And again, all those products are available at healthmasters.com. But again, I like the HGH stimulant because it does act like a natural Viagra, but don't only take 2 scoops of that a day. That's really important. Never take any more than that. In addition to that, make sure you have a really good diet and make sure you take, if you want it from a libido standpoint, you can use the HGH stimulate, use 1600 IUs of vitamin E a day and 100 milligrams of zinc a day. And, I guarantee you it'll work for you. And you can also throw some tribulus fuel in there if you want to do that on top of that. Here's another article. This is a good one too. This is by Shane. And it's called Don't Buy Into This Miracle Food Myth. And what he talks about, it ties right in what I'm talking about now. He's saying that eating a pure diet is often not good enough because he said what people do is they go to the health food store, they buy all these organic cookies and ice cream and they're eating all of this crazy stuff that's bad for them. But because it's organic, they think it's healthy. It's not. There's certain things you just don't need to eat. Organic pizzas just aren't really that much better for you than toxic general pizzas. Okay. If you're trying to lose weight. If you want to get fat, eat pizza. It's like eating a stinking fat pill. It's so bad for you. Pizzas are horrible. You have bread and cheese. Here's another good article. This is back to the regular news. This is out of the KWN News. It says, Andrew McGuire. He says that the Ponzi paper to be crushed as gold and silver markets change forever. And he's talking about how different rates are starting to happen now. And he really feels that the gold and silver is going to be changed and it's going to reset how they do it. And the gold and silver is going to go through the roof. I've been hearing that for years. I always think it's a good idea to hold some good gold and silver. And that's what I recommend that you do. Commercial camouflage, another article, this is from the All News Pipeline. Commercial camouflage, converting shopping malls into FEMA camps with guard towers right in front of our faces. I guess you can hide it in plain sight. And they've got these pictures of all these different shopping malls that look like they're guard towers. We have one of those right north of Tampa. In fact, someone contacted me a couple months ago and said, hey, they're building a brand new FEMA camp with guard towers just north of you. And I had a friend go by and they said, we're not building a FEMA camp. We're building a shopping mall. So who knows what in the world they're building? Who cares? I mean, there's all so much obfuscation anyhow. Here's another really, really good article. I like this one. It says the same corporations that manufacture vaccines are killing 500,000 people annually with deadly psychiatric drugs. We talked about the psychiatric drugs yesterday in detail. And it says psychiatric medications are not only useless, but they are responsible for killing at least 500,000 people aged 65 years and older every single year. This is the shocking conclusion of a new meta-analysis published by the British medical journal Lancet that challenges the widely held belief that antidepressants and dementia drugs are safe and effective for treating mental health issues. And it goes into detail that blatant manipulation of antidepressant clinical trials led to fake results and widespread death. 500,000. Oh, gosh, this is just nuts. And they're talking about all the suicides. We talk about all this. It says vaccine industry routinely fakes clinical trials to produce desired outcomes. That's a fact. I've seen that repeatedly over and over and over again because they can't prove their products work, so they just kind of make up the data. And, what's interesting about this, and I've talked to some of the top researchers, some of the major universities, and here's what they've told me. They said that they get their research grants from these major corporations that are trying to get these drugs approved. And if they don't get the results that drug manufacturer wants, that they're not used for the next drug test. In other words, if they're getting millions of dollars to prove that a certain pharmaceutical is going to work, they'll structure the test in such a way that'll make it appear to work by the statistical analysis they do, whether it works or not. In other words, they lie. Just straight up lie. And we saw this over and over again with aspartame when it was shown to cause brain tumors, brain cancer, seizures, headaches, and optic nerve degradation, and nobody wanted to look at the actual research. I remember 60 Minutes had a show on this. Gosh, it was 20 years ago. And they were talking about aspartame. They actually called the show, I think it was the revolving door of the Food and Drug Administration. They were talking about how many people were being hired by the same folks that they passed the drugs for after they left the Food and Drug Administration. And they were asking 60 Minutes, the lady shows up and she has like 100 studies claiming that aspartame is clinically safe to use. You know, this is stuff with diet sodas. And the 60 Minutes guy goes, well, how many of those studies did you pay for? And she goes, well, all of them. Okay. So he looked at her and goes, well, how many studies do you have that prove that aspartame is safe that you didn't pay for? She said, well, we don't have any studies that say it's safe that we didn't pay for. Well, there's a reason for that. They couldn't document it if they weren't paying for the studies, because you can't put a brain poison in your brain and think it's okay. Another article, this is from, let's see, this is the investigator's report. It doesn't have the name of the person on here, but what it says the Senate passes TPP fast tracking that could make GMO labeling illegal. In other words, what's happening is this Trans-Pacific Partnership, if it gets through, because now right now they're just able to fast track it, if it gets through, they can say that you can no longer label or even have, you can't take it up for a vote in a general election if you want to force the manufacturers to disclose that they have genetically modified foods in the food they're giving you. Now remember, this goes all the way back. It goes back to epigenetics. It goes back to a lot of other things. In other words, when you contaminate a person's genome, their genetics with this food, it's been shown now, and it was done specifically with the monkey, the simian 40 virus that was given to these folks who had the polio vaccine back in the 60s, in which they were contaminated with this cancer virus, this kidney cancer virus, that caused all of these soft tissue cancers and all of these folks who took this polio vaccine, and they took it. And what was interesting about this is it causes cancer of the breast, brain, and bones. And all of a sudden they found the same vaccine in the offspring of the parents that had taken the tainted vaccine. It passed through genetically into their offspring. And now the globalists know this. Remember what I told you earlier in the show, and you've got to understand this. These guys are Luciferians. They don't care if they kill you. You're just an animal to them, and they consider you to be a soulless animal, a goyim, I guess you'd call it. They don't care what they do to you. You know, they need to cull the herd. So they don't care if they give you a bunch of GMOs that make you sterile or that kill you or that changes your genetics. They don't care. And see, that's the biggest thing that folks don't understand is you say, well, they shouldn't do that. Well, I know they shouldn't do that. I wouldn't do that. You know they shouldn't do it if you're listening to the show, but they don't care. It's all about the money, and it's all about profit. It's all about destroying God's creation. Another good article. I have to hurry now. I'm running out of time. We only have about 15 minutes left. This is interesting. The U.S. media blames flags for mass shootings. Rick Perry blames Big Pharma, the same guy who was forcing girls to get Gardasil shots in Texas. Maybe he figured out something since that happened. Let me read you what he says. This is an article. He said he was widely panned for it, but former Texas Governor Rick Perry, who recently joined the crowded field of Republican presidential contenders, became the first and so far the only member of that group that has tied the recent Charleston shootings to Big Pharma. The rest of the U.S. presidential contenders rode the wave of the U.S. media and blamed the Confederate flag. Now, I'm not sure about Rand Paul. I'm not sure about Rand Paul, what his take on that was. In appearance on Newsmax TV, Steve Maltzberg's show, Perry made the claim that the killing of 9 African worshipers by avowed white supremacist Dylan Roof was caused by mind-altering drugs. In response to a question by Maltzberg regarding whether he thought the shootings were an act of terrorism, Perry noted, "I don't know, but I think the facts, once we get them, were more people that killed than that killed in Paris," he said, a reference to attacks in Islamic in Paris. Well, this whole article is not making any sense. Perry continued, "It seems to me, again, without having all the details about this, that these individuals may have been medicated. That may be the real issue in this country from the standpoint of these drugs and how they're used." And so Perry's actually saying something that's true, and we see it with the veterans. We see it with them, the veterans losing their gun rights. I've got a good friend of mine. He's my tile guy. He's done a bunch of tile work for me, and he cannot have guns. He's been diagnosed with post-traumatic stress syndrome, and he has been told by the VA that he cannot have guns. And see, they want him to take all these mind-altering drugs. He said he wasn't going to do that. He went on our nutrition program. Feels absolutely great. And the reality is, you know, everybody who starts taking these drugs, it affects them. And a lot of times it affects them in a really, really negative way. Here's another article that was written. This is by King, and it's 7 ways to keep your brain young. I'm going to read part of this. Some of them I don't agree with. She says that curcumin, which is basically turmeric, helps to really reduce the plaquing in Alzheimer's patients. That's true. I've seen multiple articles on that. Turmeric, we have that at healthmasters.com. That's one of the absolute best products that you can use for Alzheimer's, brains, et cetera, et cetera. It's really, really a good product. And I always tell folks, you've got to learn that there's certain things you should do with your brain. Like, number one, stay away from GMOs. Number two, you need to be staying with a lot of vitamin E in your diet. I take vitamin E every day because it really increases blood flow to the brain. I also think that zinc, a lot of the biochemical cell salts are really, really good for that. And the magnesium is so important that we talked about yesterday. That's why I use that magnesium foot bath every single day, because it really, really increases cognitive function. I feel great. I mean, I haven't had any coffee today. I feel absolutely wonderful. And I've learned this, that this constant soaking your feet in magnesium salts, putting the magnesium balm on your body, using the magnesium deodorant to reduce the risk of breast cancer and absorb more magnesium, it really, really works well. All of the antioxidants, the A, C, E, selenium, all of them have been shown to decelerate, slow down brain aging. Also, intermittent fasting has been shown to really help to regenerate brain tissue. And, you know, it's kind of like the Bible says, if you fast, your healing will quickly appear. I could do so many hours just on fasting and what it does to your body. Here's another article by Mercola. It says the world's population is getting sicker and sicker, suffering with low back pain, depression, iron deficiency, anemia, which, by the way, the low back pain, you can use the joint support, the joint rebuilding formula that really helps that. I use that every time, along with the cod liver oil. Depression, we've already talked about that with the B vitamins, 5-hydroxyl-tryptophan. Iron deficiency anemia, the best iron supplement you can take is black strap molasses, unsulfured, organic. You take about a tablespoon of that a day. It really brings the iron levels back up, women particularly. Neck pain, that's primarily, I think, from computer pain and probably not being out of chiropractic adjustment. And so there's all kinds of things that you can do from a nutrition and from a health standpoint if you're suffering with all these different things. Another article I just called, pull up on turmeric, and it says it actually is good for the arthritis of the knee. Another one, prescription drugs, now the leading cause of death by overdose. The shocking truth can fade by this article's headline. This is an article, again, there's no author pointed on this. The shocking truth conveyed by this article's headline is that nearly 52% of deaths were related to prescription drugs. The unfortunate circumstances around so many prescription drug overdoses is that most victims never knew that they even OD'd. They just died. They didn't even, that's what I told you. That's how my mother died. They bled her out with blood thinners. There is now pervasive pharmaceutical drug culture across the United States. If you were to look inside medicine cabinet of many of your homes, you would find a complete prescription center of drug bottles of every size, some full, some half, others empty, some waiting for refill. Across the country, 44,000 people died from drug overdoses in 2013, more than double the number in 1999. This goes on and on and on. For those who have not done the math, 52% equals 22,800 who actually died from prescription drug overdoses. The elderly are the most vulnerable because they just do what they're told in most cases. They don't question it. I told you about Howard yesterday, that he didn't even remember who I was. And I went to see him and I told him we could do to increase his memory again. He's like 80 years old and he's on all these statin drugs which destroy memory. The American Medical Association has now thrown in and said that they're agreeing with California that parents have to be forced to immunize their children regardless of religious exemptions, period. They have to be forced to immunize. So California used to lead the way. Now they're not, as far as, you know, people's rights. This is an interesting one. This is from Geoengineering Watch. And this is Dane Whittington. I had him on my show when I was on the Power Hour as a host for Joyce when she was sick. It was interesting with Dane. Dane's a great guy, but I also believe with the HARP that's going on now in Alaska, I think they're retiring those facilities. And I personally believe they're using space-based satellites now to do the exact same thing. I think they've really fine-tuned it. And I think they're able to do that much more effectively. And he wrote a really good article on here, and this is by Herndon, PhD. It says, aluminum poisoning of humanity and Earth's biota by clandestine geoengineering. And it's talking about how people are being exposed, basically breathing in the aluminum. Now, you say, well, you believe all of that stuff? Well, I'll be honest with you. Back in the 90s, they sprayed us and sprayed my house in Florida for the Mediterranean fruit fly. And they flew over the house in DC-3 tanker planes, and they sprayed us with malathion. And they warned us the night before they were going to do it on the evening news. And they said, we really recommend that you keep pregnant women inside and get your vehicles inside because it may remove paint from the cars. And we're going to spray the entire Central Florida area's citrus crops because of the Mediterranean fruit fly. And we're not really going to care about what we do to you guys as far as poisoning you with this unbelievable neurotoxin, but we're spraying everything. And then next day, sure enough, they flew over us with DC-3s, their sprayers on. I ran in the house real quick. I looked at my wife and I said, this is like a nightmare. I can't even believe they're doing this. And they did it. And the thing about it is finally a consumer group got up in Tallahassee and they sued them and they made them stop. They got a federal court judge to stop them. And the sad part about it is they had to get court order to stop this nightmare spraying of the citizens. So when someone told me years ago they were doing geoengineering and I could see these contrails that just didn't seem to disappear and they were turning into these white, wavy clouds and they were having this haze all the time, we always had constant overcast, I thought, you know, I don't want to believe this, but I watched the DC-3 fly over and spray us with malathion. So what I did is I waited and the next time they sprayed us real, real heavy, I went and took a water sample. It rained heavy the next day and I had a 500 milliliter Pyrex beaker that I flushed out 5 times with distilled water. I made my own distilled water, made sure the Pyrex beaker was completely pure. And I went down to the lake and I put the Pyrex beaker on a stand so it wouldn't have any back flush into it. And I put it out on the dock and I let it fill and it filled up, you know, it probably put 100 milliliters of water or whatever. And I stored the water. I didn't want to know. I put it in the refrigerator, in the beaker, and I just left it in there. And I covered it up so it wouldn't evaporate. About 6 months later, they were spraying us again. It was right at Christmas time. And I said, you know what? I've had it. I took another water sample. So I sent both water samples in 6 months apart at the same time. And I had my results come back. And my rainwater was so high in mercury. Barium. It was so high in barium and in aluminum that it was toxic to drink. So it made a believer out of me. So I don't know how the aluminum's getting in the atmosphere, but I know what's in there. I'm assuming it's from these planes. That's what it looks like to me. It's coming in there from somebody. And again, I'm going to repeat this. The aluminum is toxic to every living thing on the planet. This is free-form atomic aluminum. It destroys plants. It destroys everything. It's unbelievably toxic, including now we're saying that we're leaking more Jellin's disease to the chemtrails. The truth is this. I'm going to say it again, and I'll tell you this over and over again. These people that are running the planet are Luciferians. They don't care if they destroy God's creation. If they can't control it, if they can't have it, they don't want anybody to have it. That's just how they think. That's why they're willing and are capable of doing this. In addition to that, you have to understand something. They've tried for years and years and years to figure out how God made human beings with souls. We could do a whole show on that, which we will one day. And now they're saying that, you know, they can't figure out how God did that, so now they're going to go to transhumanism. They're going to meld us with machines, and so we'll never die. We'll live in a bank of a computer forever. So whatever, man. I have no comment about all that. It's just ridiculous. Here's another really good, interesting article about sugar and how it causes cancer. Now, this is an excellent article that I really don't have a lot of time to go over today, but mind you, just listen to me. You really need to cut the amount of sugar down. The average American actually eats about 200 pounds of sugar per person per year. And we have this huge amount of sugar in almost everything. Let me read just part of this. It has been estimated by the USDA the average American consumes 200 pounds of grain products annually. While this is relevant to the question of sugar in the diet. Why is this relevant? Because refined carbohydrate products, crackers, bread, pasta, cereal, are actually hidden forms of sugar. In fact, puffed rice causes your blood to become sweeter and higher sugar levels and presumably feeds more cancer cells than white sugar. And it's higher on the glycemic index. It goes back to what we talked about earlier about eating low glycemic foods. And so talk about the corn syrup, all the different things and how it feeds you. Remember, this sugar makes your body very, very acidic. So the cancer has to live in an acidic environment. It doesn't like oxygen and it really, really likes sugar to feed it. Here's another really interesting article. This is released back out of the Indiana Gazette. back on October the 4th, 1990. And what it talks about, it goes into detail about how the government now and the health effects of electromagnetic fields, those emitted by power lines, substations, computer terminals, and many other electronic staples in American life, are one of the hot health topics. Frightening stories associating leukemia, brain tumors, lymphoma, and birth defects with low-frequency electromagnetic fields, AMF, have been grabbing headlines everywhere from the New Yorker to Times magazines to newspapers all across the United States. The EPA knew, they knew, 25 years ago that this low-frequency magnetic energy radiation would cause cancer. They knew that. They knew that. I remember a few years ago we were on a cruise ship, and we had taken a cruise with the kids, and I told the cruise director that I did not want them letting the kids play with the Wi-Fi stuff because of this. But we're almost out of time, so let me change subjects real quick. This is an article. Everybody needs to read this. This is from Amnesty International. This is a 17-year-old boy. His name was Matthew. Actually, the man who made the phone was the movie was Matthew Cook. And a 17-year-old boy named Devin Gulliford, he was pulled over on the evening of February 28th after he flashed his headlights at a police officer. This is a kid. The kid wasn't very bright. He's on the video that was taken by the police officer. And finally, the cop tells him that, you know, he pulled him over because he flashed him, even though the cop had just said he had been flashed twice before that night and pulled two other people over because he had a new car with really bright headlights. Well, he wanted to see the kid's driver's license. Apparently, the kid was scared he's going to get his dad or whatever to take his license away. And the kid said, "I didn't do anything wrong. Why do I have to show you the license?" It turns out the kid ends up getting dragged out of the car. He gets tasered. And the guy shoots him seven times and kills the 17-year-old boy. Guys, let me tell you something. The militarization of the police in the United States has gotten out of hand. They used to, when I was a child, the sides of the police cars used to say, to serve and to protect. Now, so many police officers are all roided up on steroids, want to run around. Their whole motto is to harass and to intimidate. Guys, this isn't America. This is a police state. A 17-year-old boy gets pulled over for flashing a cop with extra bright headlights who had been pulled over twice the night, who had already pulled two people for flashing him. And it escalates until the 17-year-old boy who was laying on the ground, had already been tasered, is shot seven times by this police officer. And the officer is back at work. And he was. The judge said, "While this is tragic, we found no fault happened." So, guys, we need to realize that if we don't take care of our lives and take care of our country, we're going to lose it all. And we need to understand that if we don't have a right to ask questions of a policeman, if we don't have rights to understand what's going on, then what separates us from Nazi Germany when they come up and ask you for your papers? What separates us from that? And at what level of this young man, 17 years old, and I watched the video, he's not real bright, but he's very respectful. Why in the world did that police officer just call for backup? Why did he call his supervisor to ask what to do? Why did this boy have to die? I'll see you guys on Monday. I'll talk to you again on Monday. Dave Hodges will be my guest. We're trying to get the Hagmans on next week, but it's going to be late in the afternoon. It's tough for them to do their show every night and be on with me, but we'll try to get them on. But Dave Hodges for sure on Monday night. We're also going to be bringing on Pastor Rodney Howard Brown. So God bless you guys. Enjoy the music. I really enjoy talking to you guys. And remember, healthmasters.com brings you this program. God bless you. I'll talk to you on Monday.